Morning. Good, how are you?
Gracias. Thank you. morning, members, and morning, everyone. I just want to check if everybody here from calling in also. From the department, is everybody in? Can we just take 5 minutes? I know we've been waiting for some time. Those want something to eat, coffee, water. Just 5 minutes, and then we can start. Please. Our acting teacher will be ready.
Thank you.
members. Thank you to the department that is here, members of the media, KPMG, and others. We will just introduce ourselves as we go on. My name is Thandile Sunduza. I am the chairperson of this Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture. Members, the agenda is in front of you. And I would like to... Every member, I believe, has got an agenda. Okay. As we proceed, members, I officially open this meeting that we are having today, and the agenda is in front of you. Before we go through, can I kindly have members move and second the agenda that is in front of them? Honorable Lotrit, you are recognized.
Chair, I move that we adopt the agenda.
Thank you, Honorable Lotrit. This is a move of the agenda. Can I have a second? Can you kindly use the mic, Honorable Shulvan? Thank you.
I would like to second to move the agenda to be adopted as
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, members. The agenda has been adopted. The first item that we say it is welcoming an introduction. I'd like to welcome all members that are present again. And I would like to welcome the department. This is a very friendly committee. If you tell us the truth, we won't smash you. I know when people come to committees, they fear us. No, we're the sweetest people. Just tell us the truth, then we'll give you nice questions at the end of the day. Members, as you all know that today we are having a briefing by the department. The department is led by the acting DG, Mrs. Padoza, who is here with her team. And I hope she has brought the whole team as we had requested. What I will do right now, I will ask honorable members, everybody who's here to introduce themselves so that we can know who is here. I have started already with myself. I'll repeat again. I am Thandile Sunduza. I'm a member of the ANC. Thank you. Emma.
I am Sizalele Msweli, member of the IFP.
I am D.W. Mavunda, member of the ANC.
Thank you.
I'm proceeding to Manitwa, African National Congress. Thanks.
Zoyisile Dafane, deployed by UDF.
Anneli Lotri, DA.
Thank you, honorable members. Mrs. Baduza, can you kindly introduce the team that is here with you? Thank you. Or they'll introduce themselves.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Venice Baduza. I'm the Acting Director General in the Department since October 2010. Next to me, I have got Dr. Mbulelo Jokweni, who is the Acting Deputy Director General in two branches in the Department. One is Arts and Culture and Society. The other one is Cultural Development, International Relations, and Investing in Culture. Next to him is Uvusi Themba Ndima. He is the Acting Deputy Director General, Heritage Promotion. Next to him is Masiabo Khanedi. She is the Legal Advisor to the Minister. Next to Masiabo is Sam Mahatlani. He is the parliamentary officer in the office of the minister. Next to Sam is Tawekas Basamba. She is the parliamentary officer in the office of the deputy minister. At the back, I'll request Mike to come closer, is Mike Rainey. He's the acting chief financial officer. In front of you, Chairperson and honorable members, is Matsi Ratsaka Mutua. She is the director in the monitoring, coordination, and evaluation in the department.
Okay.
Chairperson, I was expecting a chief director dealing with social cohesion, but she indicated to me that I think the flight was delayed. She was supposed to be in a 7 o'clock flight, and she said they were due to leave at about 10. I was also expecting a chief director responsible for communication, Lisa Combrick, but yesterday her child fell ill, so she excused herself. I am also expecting the chief director responsible for marketing, Osandile Memela. Thank you, Chairperson. And let me take this opportunity and apologize on behalf of the minister. I've just been advised by Mr. Matlani that he is in a meeting. He will join us later, about 30 to 45 minutes later. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Advocate Jay. Hopefully soon I won't be hearing acting. Thank you, members. Are there any comments about can I pass? Okay. The next item on the agenda. Oh, I forgot to introduce. This is Lusanda Miyoli, is the committee secretary of the portfolio committee, and the gentleman that you see doing here is. It's here, Tonjeni. I'm told he's my assistant. Okay. Are there any apologies? Thanks. Yeah. Members, I've got. I've got four apologies in front of me. It's Honorable Smale from the Democratic Alliance, Honorable Nyalunga from the ANC, Honorable Manganya from the ANC, Honorable Maluleka from the ANC. Those are the four apologies in front of me. Do members have any comment on the apologies? Honorable Lottery? No comment. Okay. Can I pass? Okay, the next item, acting DG, it's the floor is just now. The department will present and members will engage you at the end of the day. And there are many questions at stake because we have not met the department in a while. As you all know that the committee had a few challenges after the chairperson had left. But let's give you, members will just... ask questions after that to all departments as well, you know. And I hope you'll be able to respond even for those who are not here. Okay. Thank you, Honorable G.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start, Chairperson, by indicating that we have submitted a presentation yesterday, and I apologize for that profusely. My colleagues on Friday were, most of them were in Bloemfontein, flying the flag on the magnificent Friday. But we then met yesterday at the department and prepared and went through their presentation. And today we're tabling the presentation that we'd like to share with you. It's not much different from what we submitted yesterday, but there are slight variations here and there. That's it. The outline of the presentation will talk to the purpose, which is basically to brief committee members, as we requested, on our program for the year 2011. We would like to premise by indicating what we understand to be our constitutional mandate as a department. We'll give you our objectives. We've got about six programs in the department, and just highlight to you what those objectives are for each program. And we'll talk to the outcomes agenda, as we know that we've got 12 outcomes in the administration, and we are responsible for contributing to some outcomes, but also for championing one outcome. We'll talk to that. And then we'll talk to our priorities that we have identified with review, what we're doing and when are we going to be tabling legislation for review. We felt that we just need to advise members on the highlights for 2010 and talk a little bit about challenges that we're experiencing. And we felt it prudent to give you the top management structure so that you have a picture of who is in the top management structure, and we have then given the MTF allocation for 2012 to 2014. So that's how we've outlined our presentation. In terms of our constitutional mandate, we derive our mandate from three sections specifically in the Constitution, Section 16.1, Section 30, and Section 32.1. 16.1 specifically talking to freedom of artistic creativity as we deal with the creative sector in South Africa. Section 30 talking specifically to the use of languages and the participation in the cultural life of South Africans' choice, but also doing so not inconsistent with any provisions of the Bill of Rights. And Section 32, specifically with the issue of the information that we hold, we're responsible for archives and libraries and film and video that we house in our archives. So those are the three sections of the Constitution that talk to our mandate. As I indicated, Chair and Honourable Members, we've got six main programs. One being corporate services that provide support to the department. Second one, dealing with arts and culture in society, promoting arts and culture in society and mainstreaming it in the development of society. We have a program dealing with national language service, which is charged with the development and promotion of the official languages of South Africa, and also with enhancing the linguistic diversity, a mammoth task. And we have a program that deals with cultural development and international relations, focusing on our cultural industries. We will talk to that later. We have a program that deals with the promotion of the heritage, specifically identifying and conserving and promoting our cultural heritage. And lastly, we've got a program that deals with national archives and library services. So those are the six programs that we have in the department that assist us to drive our mandate. As I indicated, with regards to the outcomes agenda, as members would know, we've got 12 outcomes that were identified that emanate from the five key priorities of the manifesto of the administration, and the outcomes are assigned to different departments. As the Department of Arts and Culture, when the President signed performance agreements with the ministers, at the time our minister was Minister Kungwana, but the same agreement applies to Minister Mashatil. We contribute as a department to outcome one, which talks to improve quality of education. I'm saying we contribute. We are not the champions. Department of Basic Education is the champion of that outcome. We also contribute to outcome four, which talks to the decent employment through inclusive economic growth. We also contribute to outcome seven, which talks to a vibrant and equitable rural communities and food security for all. But as the Department of Arts and Culture, we are charged with the responsibility to lead outcome 12. 12 is divided into two. The first section talks to an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service that is championed by the Department of Public Service Administration. And 12, the other section, talks to an empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship that is led by the Department of Arts and Culture. What has happened then is that the departments have looked at their role in terms of these outcomes, and outcome 12 has got seven outputs. The first four outputs of outcome 12 talk to the public service, and they are championed by the Department of Public Service and Administration. The last three are championed by us as the Department of Arts and Culture. They talk to nation building and national identity. They talk to citizenship participation in the democracy, targets, which are somewhat a challenge to effect and also a challenge to measure. But we'll talk to them later in the presentation. Administration, this administration champions the notion of together we can do more, and the outcomes approach is geared towards ensuring that departments work together and that there's cross-pollination between departments. We don't work in silos. As a result, therefore, we have got the departments that are responsible or that have undertaken to help us and assist us in delivering on the three outputs in terms of outcome 12B. So we've got those departments that are our key delivery partners, and some of them were represented when the minister presented the delivery agreement on the 14th of October, and they signed. So in agreements, the agreements are signed by the ministers that are responsible for those departments, so they signed to commit that they will assist us in delivering on the output. The next slide, Chair and members, talk to the output 5, which is nation building and national identity. We've got two sub-outputs there. The first one is really championing campaigns that inform and educate citizens about the rights and responsibility in the South African Constitution. That is led mainly by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. They are the custodians of the Constitution, the human rights. So all that they are that is going to be done towards realizing that sub-output we will do will be led by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. But, of course, the coordination and reporting will be channeled through us as the Department of Arts and Culture. The second one, in terms of nation building and national identity, sub-output talks about celebrating South Africa's cultural diversity, and we as the Department of Arts and Culture are champions in terms of ensuring that we deliver on that one. The first one, I just want to indicate that the Department of Basic Education is also assists there. They have developed a teacher's guide to start from early ages in terms of empowering learners and informing them about the rights and responsibilities that's enshrined in the Constitution. The second output, which is output 6 in terms of outcome 12, and the second one in terms of our responsibility as the department, Chair and Honourable Members, talks to access to information, sub-output 1. Sub-output 2 talks to public awareness about participation, and sub-output 3 talks about the institutional design to maximize participation of citizens. So basically that output as a whole relates to empowering citizens to be able to participate in democratic processes. How we deal with it as the department in terms of sub-output 1 is to ensure that there's access to information through our community libraries, through our language services, but also through the interviews that we conduct. As the department. In terms of public awareness about participation, we are assisted by the Department of Public Service and Administration and also by GCIS, Government Communication and Information Services. And they have indicated that they would develop strategies on community development workers, the BSA, but also GCIS talks about increased visibility of political principles in public participation programs. I know that Cabinet had agreed that there would be at least 10 interviews held by ministers. That's what we were told by GCIS. In terms of institutional design, we will be assisted by the Department of Social Development, as well as the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and have indicated that they would recruit and train youth pioneers towards fostering volunteering and maximizing participation of the youth in particular. And also Rural Development has undertaken to establish rural community structures that will also foster active participation by citizens in our democracy. The last one, Chairperson, in terms of the outcomes agenda, talks to social cohesion. that one we will champion ourselves, but also will be assisted by the Department of Public Service and Administration, as well as sports and recreation in South Africa. As far as we are concerned, we will talk to that later. We have got a program on social cohesion and nation building that we will roll out. But sport and recreation talks about revitalizing school leagues and also facilitating training of school sports coaches and technical officials so that school children are encouraged to participate in sport and recreation. So those are the outcomes that we as the department, it's outcome 12 and the outputs that we have undertaken to champion as the department. In terms of our contribution to other outcomes, as I indicated, we do contribute to outcome 4. The outcomes, the departments would indicate what their outputs are, and we would say as a department will contribute towards, for instance, in outcome 4, towards output 6, as well as towards output 7. And those sub-outputs, they have, you know, indicated this is what they are going to do. And Tina, as the department, we say, all right, we will come in, we will contribute towards the improved support to small business and cooperatives. We have an investing in culture program, and which supports that to small business and cooperatives. That will be our contribution towards that output. In terms of expansion of EPWP, we also indicate to them that that's what we are going to be contributing towards as the department. So, and then in terms of outcome 7, again, there are two outputs that we as the department has pledged to contribute towards, which is the improvement of rural services to support livelihoods, as well as the improved employment opportunities and economic livelihoods. They have set up their outputs, and Tina, we came in and said, these two outputs we will be contributing towards. But we are not responsible for leading in that outcome, as I had indicated earlier. So that, Chair and Honourable Members, is the outcomes agenda and our contribution as a department and what we are promising and pledging to do. What we did when Minister Mashatile and Deputy Minister Phahla joined the department or were redeployed to the department in November, we had a post-berat with them, and we had a strategic planning session, and we came up with key priorities that as the department will be focusing on. And we identified 5 of those key priorities. And in that exercise, we were mindful of the fact that we do have the outcomes agenda. So we need to ensure that those priorities that are in the outcomes agenda are also reflected in our priorities. We call them our sustainable priority agenda, which is what we are there to do every day. So the first one talks to social cohesion and nation building. And members will be aware those are one of the outputs or the two outputs in outcome 12. The second one talks to skills development. We want to contribute immensely towards skills development in the country, and that is also talking to outcome 1, which is our contribution towards basic education. And then thirdly, we talk to economic development, and Minister Mashatile is very passionate about this one. Talks with our contribution as the arts, culture, and heritage sector to the GDP of the country, our contribution to job creation, and that also talks to our contribution to outcome 4, which talks to economic growth. And then the fourth one is the development, preservation, and promotion of arts, culture, and heritage, which is our mandate. And lastly, we're saying in this, until the end of this administration, we will be focusing on preservation for access to information, which talks to our mandate towards archives, library services, and language services as well. What are we going to do, Chair and Honourable Members, towards then realising those priorities? We say that as the department towards social cohesion and nation building, we are charged with the responsibility of overseeing the function of the South African Geographical Names Council, and we will continue then the process of standardizing geographical names. And in that process, we'll engage South African citizens. We have had some sessions with South African citizens towards the issue of geographical names, and we will host a summit this year where we will consolidate recommendations from the hearings that were held across all provinces. Some of the issues, Chair and members, that talk to the geographical names are really relating to the spelling of the names, the correct spelling of the names, as well as the correct naming of the areas, because sometimes the areas where they are original names were substituted by other names. So those are the issues that come up when we engage in the hearings. But we will have a summit that is going to consolidate the recommendations that from the provinces. One of our responsibilities as a department is to coordinate some national days, let's say some. Heritage Day is our responsibility that we coordinate. The Freedom Day in April is our responsibility. But what we had done last year was to engage the leaders of the political parties that are represented in Parliament to say what is it that we can do towards ensuring that a celebration and commemoration of national days is all citizens of South Africa participate, or the majority of the citizens, to reflect our cultural diversity. What transpired out of those engagements was that political parties that are represented in Parliament were given opportunities when we have our national days to celebrate to give their message of support. That's the starting point. But the objective is basically to really have South African citizens across racial and sexual lines participating in our celebration and commemoration of national days. Another area that we focus on in terms of promoting our diversity and building our nationhood and a socially cohesive society are our festivals, where we promote arts, culture, and heritage. What we had done, Chair, is to support some festivals that are at a provincial level. We know in Free State there is Makufe, which we gave some seed funding for, I think, about 3 years, but now it's well established. The province has taken it over. It's even attracting international art professionals. So I can say that that's one of our success stories. But we also now are supporting a festival in Limpopo, the Mapungubwe Arts Festival, which takes place in December. We also support a festival in the Eastern Cape, which is held at Port St. John's. The objective here is to promote arts, culture, and heritage towards bringing pride to South Africans of their culture, about themselves and their culture and their identity. We would like to have such festivals across all provinces. We are in the process of engaging a strategy, on developing a strategy on festivals, which will inform our contribution as a department towards these festivals and promoting that these festivals are held throughout the country. But also we engage in conferences. The annual National Oral History Conference promotes what is referred to as organic intellectuals. Some of us never went to school, but we do have a lot of knowledge on aspects of arts, culture, and heritage. So that oral history conference is aimed at promoting and accentuating our organic intellectuals. We also last year launched a process of recognizing living heritage, people that are still alive that can contribute towards transferring knowledge and that we have contributed as well towards us, culture and heritage in this country. And we will continue to do so on an annual basis. Also, Chairperson and honorable members, South Africa has got a number of carnivals that are being held left, right, and center. In the Western Cape, there is a carnival that is being held. We know of the carnival that takes place around about the 1st and 2nd of January here. But also there's another one, I'm told, that is happening in March, on the 19th of March. That's also here in Cape Town. And we have been inundated with some proposals and requests to support people that want to do carnival. Somebody wants to do a carnival in the Northern Cape. There's somebody who wants to do a carnival in Limpopo. So we then decided that we are going to have a conference on this carnival so that we get a South African carnival movement going. And we hope in that process to draw expertise from other countries that are renowned for their carnivals, your Brazil, your, I'm told that Jamaica also is prominent on carnivals. And on Thursday, I'm meeting with the embassy of Tobago and Trinidad. I believe they also are good in carnivals. So we want to also learn from what other countries are doing around carnivals so that we have a strategy around carnivals and a South African carnival movement. There's a lot here to be generated from carnivals in terms of costumes, designs, in terms of performance. So we need to look at the economies of carnivals. How do the carnivals contribute towards the economy of South Africa? And then we also are going to go and engage South African citizens and have some community mobilization campaigns on issues of social cohesion and nation building. That will culminate to a summit. What we want to find out from South African citizens is what is it that they understand by social cohesion? What is social cohesion? What is it that binds South Africans or that brings South Africans together? We're going to have those community mobilizations. Hopefully we will come up with a common understanding of what is it that we mean by social cohesion and what can be done towards ensuring a socially cohesive society. When we engage in these activities, we look at to be socially inclusive. Is it multicultural? Is it multiracial? Is it multilingual? Does it promote our national symbols? Does it provide access for people with disability? Do we have sign language interpretations? So we want to engage our communities on those issues. But also we believe that our national symbols are also a vehicle towards bringing South Africans together, promoting a united nation. I believe that the South African flag after the World Cup, they said, was the most recognized flag in the world. I'm subject to correction, Chairperson, I haven't proven that with some research, but it was very popular after we held successfully the World Cup. We would like to continue to promote that flag. I believe it's a beautiful flag. But also we've held and we are going to continue to have exhibitions on our national symbols. We want to promote and popularize our national symbols. We've got a booklet with those symbols. I had requested that it be brought so that we can share it with the honorable members. And I'm told that somebody will be bringing it down. I'm just hoping that by the time we finish, it will come. Also, Chairperson, we have a program, and honorable members, on a flags in every school. That's also another avenue that we want to use where we want to promote national identity and build a socially cohesive nation so that local communities feel that they are part of the nation. They can identify the South African flag and the symbols as well. We have got community arts centers and performing arts institutions that also assist us towards promoting national identity. Honorable members would agree with me that some of the community arts centers are turning into white elephants, and we are aware of that. would like to have some programs that are targeting, for instance, youth that will be based at those community arts centers. We would like to revive them so that they go back to what they were intended to do, to promote nation building and also to promote the preservation of our culture and heritage. Our second chapter and priority talks to skills development. And that was a project that was also championed by Minister when he was still our Deputy Minister. We're talking about a skills academy. Honorable Lotrit will ask me, what is the center of excellence? How many centers of excellence have you had? We would like to make it a center of excellence, Honorable Lotrit, where we would provide artists with a platform to perfect their skills. I remember when Kaifa Semenyam came to see the minister, he said it takes him days to get the members of the group to practice a song because they find it difficult to read music. If they could read, it would take him a couple of hours. So he's also really championing this process of developing or setting up this skills academy. For the creative industries, all of them, not just one music, but also other forms of creative industries. We're also looking at developing and promoting special skills for writing, where we train writers in playwriting. That's a project that we have got in collaboration with the United Kingdom. The State Theatre, one of our performing arts institutions in Pretoria, and Artscape here in the Western Cape, it will be piloted there, but Wits University is also on board, and what they call sustainable theatre in the UK. It's funded by the British Council. So that's a project that is going to encourage our young writers to write plays, which will be performed at those two specific institutions as a pilot. We're hoping to roll it out to other performing arts institutions. We've got about 6 national performing arts institutions. We also, in the film industry, we have got a script-to-screen script writing project that encourages the writing of indigenous stories, especially in the rural areas. That's also championed by the department. As far as skills development is concerned, we also in the heritage sector have concluded a skills audit, and we have discovered, Chairperson and honourable members, that especially within the heritage sector, we've got aging, what former Minister Jordan called aging cadres. They really have been in those heritage institutions for years, and they are reaching their retirement ages, but then we struggle to encourage our young ones to take up careers in heritage studies. So we have done that audit, and the result has been that the Treasury has given us funds ring-fenced towards bursaries for people or students to study in heritage studies. Also, on talking to bursaries, we've got bursaries that we've been awarding for to promote skills development in the language profession as well. We also have got a partnership with UNISA and Pretoria Universities where we encourage visual artists, young visual artists, especially those who come from the previously disadvantaged communities, so that they also are trained on how to curate and promote their art because sometimes they do have the skills, but they don't know how to promote themselves. So that we have a program that we've got in collaboration with UNISA and Pretoria University. With regards to Film and Video Foundation, Chairperson and honorable members, we can report that we have got a Film and Video Foundation institution that is set up in terms of an Act of Parliament. And towards skills development, last year they trained about 119 for the 2010-2011. They said 119
figure of 154 that they would like to train. On the international front, we continue to engage with partners to provide a platform and opportunities for young creatives across our disciplines to showcase and network and participate on those events. We've just been to France, where we took our local music producers so that they get the skills on how to sell their musicians and how to network and strike business deals. So we see that as part of skills development. The priority number three, Honorable Chair and members, talks to economic development and our contribution as a department to the new growth path that has been unveiled. What we have done is we are going to soon unveil a plan that talks to our contribution as the Department of Arts and Culture to economic growth and job creation. We have got our researchers working on this project, which has got a deadline at this point in time of March 2011 to be finalized so that we can present to Cabinet thereafter to say this is how cultural and creative industries will contribute to the economic growth and job creation. As some members would know, we support creative industries. We develop strategies that aim at addressing the intervention in the value chain. We have spoken about MIDEM, which is a showcasing of in France, that takes place in France, of all the record companies where they go in and strike business deals and promote their artists. We do something of that effect in South Africa. We call it Mushito. We want to do it in Africa as well, in South Africa, so that we bring Africa and the world to Africa, where we can provide people who cannot afford to go to meet them an opportunity to showcase their artists. We also will be going to Burkina Faso, where there will be an annual Federation of African Filmmakers now towards the end of February, beginning of March. That's where we promote our films, and it's a platform for African filmmakers. It also takes place in Cannes in France, the same film festival, but also here in South Africa. We do have a Durban International Film Festival. There's a big contribution by the film industry towards the economic growth and economic development of the country. But it's very expensive, as we know, to set up a film. It costs millions of rand. What the Film and Video Foundation had done was to approach National Treasury with a business case, and they were given about 33, I think, million rand towards developing films. We also put a case for them, and Treasury allowed that we give them 10 million rand so that we set up screens in the township area so that we can take film viewing to our areas as well. I think they are piloting in two areas, one in Durban, I know, and here in, I think, in Khayelitsha. They are piloting that project. Within our cultural industries, Honorable Chair and members, we've got crafts, we've got design, we've got performing arts, we've got books and publishing, we've got technical services, which is services of putting up the screens and the platforms where the performance takes place. It's a viable industry as well, which we still need to support as the department. We also support jewelry making, where we train youngsters as apprentices, and we don't train them ourselves, but we provide funding for them to be trained in terms in jewelry making. So there's a lot of contribution by the cultural industries and creative industries towards economic growth and development. And this plan that we will unveil will talk to that. Chair, we also, in terms of development and preservation and promotion of arts and culture and heritage, we launched a project of identifying National Liberation Heritage Route in 2010. We've been consulting in provinces. We've had provincial seminars where we consulted. because we'd like to have a liberation heritage route in South Africa, but also continentally. I will talk to that. We were talking to the government of Mozambique, where we would have a Matola raid monument that will be built there in Mozambique. We've finalized the program of memorandum of agreement, but I will talk to that. The minister will be going to Mozambique shortly. So that's also part of its development and preservation and promotion of art, culture, and heritage. But also we are mindful of the fact that we've got intangible cultural heritage in South Africa as an oral history society, mainly. There's value to our intangible cultural heritage. We have conducted an audit of that. We will be conducting an audit of that so that we can indicate the location and status of intangible cultural heritage in the country. Chair, when we talk to preservation of access to information, as I indicated, that's the focus of our national archives and libraries. We will continue to support and guide records and information management. We've got a national archive, but we've also provincial archives, and the provincial archives have been given to a provincial administration for management, but we will continue to guide and support them, because they, before they were a national competency, but now they have been devolved to provinces. But we will continue to support them. As far as libraries are concerned, Chair, we have a conditional grant that we receive from Treasury, which we give to our provincial governments or departments to promote the building of community libraries. And in the coming year, we have got plans for 14 new community libraries that will be built, but also upgrading existing libraries. We've got about 75 that we want to upgrade. We've also got an exciting project where we'll establish service points in the libraries for visually impaired readers, which would be piloted this year. That's quite exciting. We also continuously do translation and editing of our documents into and from all official languages, as well as foreign languages. Somebody was asking me for requesting for translation of French. We know that we've got African countries that are francophone, so when we enter into agreements with them, we sometimes get documents in French or even documents in Portuguese, so we have to translate those. We had just had a launch of the digitization policy, Chairperson, that will provide guidelines on the very complex issue of digitization of our heritage resources. We've done it with the rock art, and there's an institution based in Advanced University that has digitized our rock art. So it's preserved the images. But it's a very sensitive issue because once digitized, then it gets accessed through technology, and the issues of rights and intellectual property and all that. So that policy will guide us and talk to that. With regards to the key campaigns that we'll be engaged with in this coming financial year, Chair and Honourable Members. The Minister, as I indicated, is going to Mozambique next week, Monday, to attend the commemoration of the 30th anniversary of the Matola Raid, but also we will take an opportunity then to sign a memorandum of agreement with the government of Mozambique, a cultural agreement in terms of exchange of our cultural activities. But also we have got a project that perhaps Mr. Ndima can also elaborate on, that is aimed at building a monument in Mozambique to commemorate, as I indicated, to mark that Matola Raid. We also are going to be focusing this year on the 35th anniversary of the Soweto Uprising in June. Also, in the second half of the year, we're going to be engaging in a cultural diplomacy conference that will inform our cultural diplomacy internationally. And also in August, we will have our African Women Writers Symposium, which we launched last year in August, where we got African women writers in the same space, renowned and budding writers, an exciting program indeed. We also launched a National Book Week in September last year. We will continue with that this year. But also, as I indicated, we will have those community mobilizing campaigns, which will culminate in a national summit on social cohesion. We will continue to support Sport and Recreation South Africa on this magnificent Friday. We wish the Proteas luck in their World Cup. I believe they are leaving today or tomorrow for the World Cup. But there's a number of sporting teams that will be having World Cups this year that we support. And our involvement there is to continue to popularize our flag and our national symbols and get South Africans consolidating their national pride. With regards to legislative review, Chairperson and honorable members will be bringing to Parliament four pieces of legislation this year. South African Language Bill that we've been developed, the South African Language Practitioners Council Bill, the South African Community Library and Information Services Bill, and the Cultural Laws Third Amendment Bill. Between April and September, those pieces of legislation will be brought to Parliament. I just felt to let's touch on and give you a report on the highlights in 2010. We are proud to say that we had received an unqualified report for 2009 and 2010, and would like to continue with that. My acting CFO here is working hard towards us receiving another unqualified report for 10 and 11. We also launched an anti-fraud and corruption campaign in December last year. We facilitated and were partners with the Chief Albert Luthuli Foundation for the lecture that was graced by the president, who gave the lecture, the president. We also facilitated the commemoration of the arrival of the indentured Indian laborers 150 years ago in South Africa. We also declared graves of the struggle heroines in August 2010, Abo Helen Joseph, Umamo Lillian Ngoyi, but also Nomamo Sherrod Maxeke. But also, we towards the end of the year last year, we participated in the Third World Festival of Black Arts and Culture in Senegal, showcasing the South African Black Arts and Culture. We were part to the launch of the Magnificent Friday this year, and also we, for 6 months from May to October 2010, we showcased South African Arts and Culture in Shanghai during the expo that was held in Shanghai. One of our key challenges, Chairperson, as you had indicated, that you don't want us to come here and claim our Hollywood status by declaring ourselves to be acting DG, acting CFO, acting DDG. We do have a vacancy rate that is high, especially at the top management level. We'd like to keep it as minimum as we possibly can. We have, in fact, when we met with the Auditor General, they had indicated clearly that we've got vacancy rate on funded positions and we've got vacancy rate on unfunded positions. We've got a huge structure that was conquered by Minister Baloyi in February 2010, but he indicated in his letter that you must get funding for these positions. So we do have funded positions, but we also have unfunded positions. We went to Treasury to seek funds to implement our structure, and we were unsuccessful round one. We're going to continue to engage with Treasury. Chairperson, I felt I needed to show you the Of course, the budget will never be enough, especially our compensation of employees budget. My CFO has sleepless nights when I say, no, I want to pay performance bonuses. No, I want to know where are you going to get the money to do that, because then I've got to go to Treasury and explain why I'm overspent on the compensation of employees budget. So budget is always a challenge, Chairperson. But also what we would like to do now is to engage and cooperate with our institutions more meaningfully. Because what we have identified when we're doing like introspection is to say that we've got these institutions that are created, there's about 25 of them, that are created to assist us as the Department of Arts and Culture to advance our mandate. But instead, we tend to sometimes compete with them and not cooperate with them. So what we've done is we have had meetings with them now to say we've taken a resolution that we're going to work with you. For instance, when we went to Senegal, we worked with one of our museums, the Dzong Museums. We worked with the National Heritage Council. We worked with the State Theater. So that was very good because it was cooperation and interaction that was meaningful, that yielded positive results. Mr. Ndima is going to Mozambique with the minister, and I had indicated that we need to invite the National Heritage Council because it's also assisting us with that liberation route, and also the South African Heritage Resources Agency because it's also responsible for declaration of sites and monuments and graves. So that we work together. They know exactly what we're doing, and they can see where they can assist us. And in that way, we will stretch that envelope, because they do get funds from National Treasury through us. So the small financial envelope that we have can be expanded if we use our institutions effectively. Lastly, Chair, in terms of our organogram and top management, we have got 5 DDG positions. We've got the Director General's position, which is vacant at the moment. It has been vacant since the 1st of October. The previous Director General, Mr. Temba Wakashe, his term of office ended on the 30th of September 2010, and he redeployed himself, or he was redeployed to Luthuli House from the 1st of October. So he is no longer with us, and that became vacant. We have advertised the position, Honorable Chair, and the closing date was the 14th of January. We have had a shortlisting exercise, and a report is with the minister. We are really hoping to fill the position, if not by the end of March, but at least by May, we should have somebody in this position. With regards to other positions, in terms of corporate services, there's a chief operations officer, which is myself. That vacancy is filled with a permanent employee. The other branches, the one that talks to arts and culture and economic empowerment, is vacant. Chairperson, we had a candidate who was dismissed, and there had been a lot of labor relations activities around that. But we have advertised it, and we've got it was closed on the 14th of January, so we'll be shortlisting and interviewing there for that position. The heritage promotion and the one National Archives and Library Services, we had advertised them already by June 2010, and we had shortlisted, and we were ready to interview candidates. One of the candidates that was shortlisted was an internal candidate who then subsequently got suspended, and there's processes around labor relations issues. So we are, and I think the trial is running today. The hearing is from this week, started on Monday until Friday. So pending the outcome of that process, we are hamstrung for those two positions. we are unable to fill them at the point in time. At the last one, which is Arts and Culture and Society, we also advertised it with a closing date of 14th of January, and we will be shortlisting chairpersons. In terms of our MTF allocation, we have got for the coming financial year 2.4 billion, which will go up to 2.6 and 2.7. And as I indicated, within that allocation, we've got funds that are reinvested for specific purposes. For instance, the funds reinvested for bursaries. The majority of that amount of money, Chair and Honourable Members, we transfer to our institutions. There's got about 25 institutions that we transfer to. The CFO can talk to that better than I do. Chair and Honourable Members, I recommend and propose that you note the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting DG. Thank you for the presentation that you've given to us. And before we continue, Honourable Members, I'd like to welcome Honourable Chakala to the meeting. He's a member of this committee, he's a member of the Congress of the People. Welcome, Honourable Chakala. The department just presented their plan for this day. Honourable Members, I know we are burning with questions right now, and what I would propose is that it's not a lot of pages, so can we just go page by check page so that we don't go back. Welcome, Mr. Mbata. Acting DG, I hope soon we'll be saying DG. Your members, Honourable Members, are going to ask questions, but it's not only you who's supposed to answer. Your acting managers must assist you to answer. I can see Vusi smiling, maybe he's got all the answers as well. So I would, they're welcome to answer. Unfortunately for you, won't be asking some of the things that I hear. Because as we sit here, we are informed about other things. Some are outstanding, so you must not expect us to stick to this. Honourable Members, we just received an apology letter from Dr. Drew Pasavinus, who is a deputy minister, that he has been called to return to the House. I know we've passed apologies. I was just making a note. And I was just saying I'll wrinkle someone's neck because it must come before the meeting next time, even to the minister as well. Honourable Members, we'll go page by page. We can take our time. There are no flights going back to Joburg. They are full. So they will just leave here or they'll just do deviations. Departments are known for deviating. Of life. Page one. I think we'll start from page two. Or is my proposal not working? You want to ask generally? Oh, okay. Must indicate. Okay. Can I note hands? Honourable Lothran, Frederick, Honourable Dabane.
Question in the page you are in now, or else any question?
No, I thought maybe we'll go page by check page, but I can see maybe you have structured your questions different on the paper, so you can ask anything randomly. Okay, Honourable Dabane. Any other member for now? Okay. Hey, you can start, Honourable Lothran. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to start by, first of all, congratulating the Acting DG and the department with this presentation. I think it was a breath of fresh air in having such a presentation and not the usual one we had, which was usually a copy and paste thing. So congratulations with that. I think it's set out quite clearly. I think we have a good grasp of what you intend doing. Now, I basically just have one question and then a comment. Acting DG, if you look at where you're referring to your outcomes, specifically outcome 12, where you then can make an input, I'm not quite sure where this would fit in, but let's say social capital, and there you refer to the whole issue of assisting with sport and things like that, which is extremely important. But what worries me, and also if you look at the rest of your programs in terms of arts, and specifically the performing arts and visual arts, that the department focuses on the end product, the artist in the end. But I've got a serious concern with what's happening to arts and culture at school. And I would like to know whether the department in any way envisages working or having discussions with the Department of Basic Education in looking at what we're doing in terms of art and music and things like that at school, because it doesn't help us focusing on the end product, but there's nothing happening at school. So that's basically the question I have, and then just a comment. Now, I missed that little part. I quickly went out, but in terms of your budget, I think we do take note that your problem is that you're working with primarily transfers, and that what you want to do here is very ambitious for the actual budget that you have. So how are we going to solve that problem?
Thank you, Honorable Tappan.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My first question is, have you set yourselves time limits within which to achieve your objectives? And then the second question is, you know, these programs are there, and the problem now is the people better in rural areas are not aware of these programs. What are you really doing with regard to the awareness, particularly in rural areas, of these programs? I'll refer you to slide number 13. There is community development workers. You know, slide number 23 as well. I've made a wrong reference to this slide now. But anyway, what is important is, do you have a plan, you know, to make the communities aware of these programs, particularly in rural areas? Thank you.
Honorable Shulman.
Thank you, Chair.
Before you start, I would like to welcome the Honorable Minister, Honorable Mr. Mashatile. I think he's very progressive. He comes during question time. So I think he's just ready to answer the questions. As we all know, that he's very passionate about the GDP part. So he's here right on time. Welcome, Minister, and thank you for coming.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Minister. We're happy that you're with us today here. What I would like to ask is, you know, the promotion of indigenous languages. Like we say, we have got 11 official languages. We still have a number of languages outside the 11. But even the 11 official languages that we officially recognize, if I'm in the chamber, for instance, I want to debate in my language, Xitsonga, for instance. I imagine the interpreter will still interpret in English. And I don't even know a person listening at home is really getting what I'm actually saying because of the challenges I think that we have of interpretation. I'm not sure whether that is a correct challenge I can point at. And secondly, you spoke about the flags that we have to display in all our schools. I would like to say, let us try to, you know, not only end at schools. We have all our South African flags at all public institutions. Like, I come from a community where we've got a traditional authority. I don't even have a flag there. Even in our homes, what's wrong with that and saying we're South Africans? I just want to say, is it possible for you to promote and extend this display of South African flags? Let me pause there. I've got some few other questions. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Members, while you are thinking, I think I'll also take my stake here on the table. You will have second to the third round, as I said, that they will stay here, don't worry. The DG will just deviate and the Minister will agree to that. My first question is on outcome 12. Just a comment, basically, to say that I know the department is operating on a limited budget. I know that the acting DG has been speaking about a budget. We'll see how we also squeeze treasury to it. Is it not time for our constitution now to be written in our own languages? Because we have a challenge, even as you go to your rural areas, as indicated, there are many illiterate people there. When you start speaking about the constitution, they don't even hear what you're speaking about. I know we'll throw this all to the department, but I believe some are provincial responsibilities. I just want to check also relations with provinces as well. You know, how to work together. Because I know, as Honorable Leto spoke, that you are grant giving. Are you monitoring those funds that we are giving to provinces? Do you get specific outcomes or outputs on those monies that you've given to provinces? The other question that I have is, I understand you are saying that on commemorative days, they are, you've met political leaders to say that at a certain part of ethnic groups or races that do not attend to our commemorative days. Is that the only step that you took just to meet the political leaders? Have you met societies? Have you met all? I mean, you have a different society. Well, it really gives another impression when you are watching on that day. It's only Africans that are at those days too. It sends another message to another person who's watching. On skills development, I just wish they will have our own Hollywood or Bollywood now. I think, what is the department doing to assist? I know it's an expensive industry, but I think we are tired of our own people, creative as they are, then you find them used by other countries as well. I was reading not long ago about this guy who wrote in Nyaupe, although I haven't watched it myself. Now he's saying that Hollywood wants him. He was saying that, and I felt that they are taking our own talent, our own people. What is the assistance program? I think that you spoke that you work with other departments as well. I have a concern here about artists, actors who die without money. Is there any way that the department can assist, we have an assistant program, sort of an assistant program to that? Because every time we read, this person was very rich, he's our own artist, mainly African, then after that, he dies without a cent, people have to collect money. Or is there a way also to assist in terms of recordings? I mean, if you get a lot of people saying they are cheated about those record labels, legal issues that you know about, is there any way that there can be an assistant and support program as well? This is also a comment to say that the department, can it ensure that in every, I've been raising it on international matters, on international cooperation, that in every embassy, high commission, there is a correct national anthem. It's on not only Razzmatazz. What was that meant? Razz Dumisan. Where we had a challenge. I was also in other countries. The wrong national anthem is played. Then you ask yourself, maybe you can have your with IR on those matters. Because when I questioned it, I said it's ancient culture which must ensure that we have the right national anthem. The national anthem, and then the other one was saying sports matter. It was just a matter of issues. I know the minister is very passionate about this one.
issues on economic development, being part of the GDP. Well, what is the plan? Maybe just give us a glimpse or a little tips of what is the plan that you have to ensure that we are also recognized, the department is also recognized, Arts and Culture is recognized that it's also providing the GDP of the country. And also the plan, Minister, while we are here, that I can say that every department has been tasked to ensure that they provide a certain number of jobs with this new growth path, to say that how many jobs are we providing. I saw Water Affairs had about 400,000. I said the shortlisting will be done at the stadium. Yeah, I've never seen so much sports. So it's one of those issues. On legislation review, just two questions on there. Last year, there were two bills that were supposed to come to Parliament. I'm subjected to corruption. It was language bill and heritage bill. I just wanted to find out where did that process end before I can see that there are four ones. What happened to the other two, so that we can also say that as we table this for us, we know what happened to the other ones. Okay, I think I'll stop there for now. I know for now, and then I will ask the department to respond. Honourable members will have the second round. You can still come back. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members. I think I am allowed to delegate action to my principal. Okay. Minister, Honourable Lodrick asked a question around the issue of us focusing on the end product, on the artists, but saying very little about the development of skills from an early age, our engagement with the Department of Basic Education, for instance. I know, Honourable Member, that there was a cliche that says that every South African child must be able to play an instrument, for instance. Every South African child must be able to do some dance movements, because that's what happens naturally with children. They do dance, they do, until we tell them no, not to, because they're going to fall and break their legs. My colleagues may elaborate on this. There is a special section in the department that deals with youth and women and people with disability and the aged. And one of the leaders in that department continuously tell me that they are engaging with the Department of Basic Education with the view to develop a strategy on how to promote arts and culture at that level. So I would like perhaps Dr. Jobeni to elaborate on that, but something at the back of my mind tells me that it has been reported in our management meetings that there's an engagement with the Department of Basic Education towards ensuring exactly that we promote the curriculum that is going to ensure that our children also get taught from an early age these art forms. But my colleagues will elaborate on that. The program is ambitious and the budget is limited. My CFO may want to talk to this. But you will recall, Honourable Member, that I indicated that we can be smart in terms of stretching this limited budget. The program that we have here, for me, does not necessarily say that we ourselves as a department. We've got our agencies. We've got our associated institutions that we can engage so that they assist us in delivering on the program. But also what we have realized is that we are not being skillful. We are going to be skillful in approaching our funding agencies, in approaching the lottery, for instance. I know they can't fund government, but they can fund our institutions so that we have a business case that we take to the lottery to say, this is what we want to do. Can you assist? But we'll do it through the NAC. We'll do it through the State Theatre. Those types of creative thinking. But also Treasury themselves, if you have got a well-developed business case, they listen, and we have got a case in point, as I indicated, the Film and Video Foundation, they went to them, and they got 33 million rand. So the budget, yes, is limited, but you want to talk about, Dr. J, about the basic education or even post?
Thank you very much, Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, and colleagues. the question asked by the Honorable Member on the training and development of young people is valid. But as DG has already elaborated on the issue of strategy, yes, there is that engagement with the Department of Basic Education. But also to mention that in as far as supporting the training of students or young people, the department already has made some strides. For example, I can quote the project called Tutuba Jewelry Project, which trains young people in fashion and jewelry designs. That has continually received support from the department. And also to mention that NFVF also, National Film and Video Foundation, is also doing training. There is a program. So I just wanted to acknowledge that it is not like there isn't anything that is being done. But also to say that with respect to the issue of the awareness in the provinces about our programs, acting DG has already introduced this in the presentation when she talked about our new approach of working together with the provinces. I just wanted to quote the case of Limpopo province recently when they were doing their strategic plan. They invited the department, and that is our intention to work together with them so that they could hear about our projects and our priorities, and then so that they can align their own planning with the National Department of Arts and Culture. While that was happening, they also had invited the municipalities, all those that actually report to them, that is to the province. So there is that synergy now of working together in terms of knowing what is exactly happening. So we believe then that even though we may have not really taken our programs to to municipalities, but through working together with the provinces, that is really being attended to, and it's happening. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I think Dr. Jokini was already responding to Honourable Member Ntasane's question. Just to add to that is that on the issue of, for instance, social cohesion, we have been to the social cluster meetings in provinces where we explain what we're going to do, because these mobilization campaigns are going to be taking place within the provinces. I know that, for instance, the chief director responsible for social cohesion tomorrow is going to Free State to give that presentation in the social cluster meeting. She's been to KZN, she's been to Mpumalanga. So that's another way of ensuring that the information is disseminated to communities working through our provinces. The objectives are they time-bound. We try, because also Treasury and the AG is very strict on that. When they audit us, they say our objectives must be smart, small, measurable, realistic, and time-bound. The ones, for instance, for the 9, for the is it 10-11 that they are auditing now. They've been telling us that our objectives were not really smart. So we know already that they're going to pronounce on that when they do the audit. But we then, going forward in terms of 11 and 12, we are strengthening and tightening up in terms of ensuring that our objectives are really time-bound. The Honourable Member has asked a question, Minister, on promotion of Indigenous languages and interpreting services, especially in Parliament with the Hansard services. I know Dr. Jobeni will respond to that. And then the issue of a flag in all institutions, Mr. Ndima will talk to that, Honourable Member. Chair, the issue of translation of constitution in all official languages, Dr. Jobeni again will talk to that, will assist us there. terms of a relationship with provinces and the monitoring of our grants, we will talk to that, and Umatsiye will assist us there because she's in charge of the monitoring and evaluation. Commemorative days, have we canvassed it with the citizens? Dr. Umisendim will respond to that, Honorable Chair. Promotion of our own films, artists and actors who die as paupers, the plan to ensure the SA is recognized as a player in economic development. My minister would love to take this with your permission. And then we'll see how it goes from there. Thank you. Dr. Lee.
Thank you. On the issue of the promotion of indigenous languages, yes, it is very true that the issue of interpretation is a scarce ear, first and foremost. But also to mention that it's not only interpretation, there are quite a number of them, and we identified them. You know, and upon identifying them, we initiated the Basari scheme, which is the language Basari scheme specifically. That has been going on now for many years. It is rotating. In one cycle, it only caters for undergraduates, and then after that, it also goes to the postgraduates. For, as part of the criteria, the interpretation, specifically simultaneous interpretation, is one of those things that need to be offered. So for a university to qualify for the bazaar, they need to prove that out of all these scarce skills that we identified, at least there are some that they can provide. We are aware of the fact that they may not provide for all of them, but we do not give the bazaar to a university that is not going to attend to some of those or offer some of those skills. And of course, the intention of the bursary is to promote these skills so that even institutions such as the National Parliament can then employ people to do simultaneous interpretation for them, and even the private sector also, because the issue of promoting multilingualism is necessary in that sector as well. They can also employ graduates who have qualified in those schools through the bursary.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, Minister. Just to say that in terms of the popularization of the flag, we already have a project which is called Flag in Every School, which is being rolled out currently. And of course, we want to try and intensify this particular campaign to ensure that most of the schools do have the flags. And I'm very glad that the acting DG did indicate that at some stage we also have been guided by the availability of resources. But of course, we do agree that it's very important that we should have a flag in every house. And, you know, flag must be in all the public buildings. It's very important. But I think also what we are saying is that just having a flag in every house or a flag in every school might not be adequate. And I think there should be education that goes with it. Education that goes with all the national symbols that we have in the country so that people can attach meaning to those symbols. So we are also working very closely with the Department of Education in that regard. And in fact, in the syllabus, or it's part of the curriculum, the issues of national symbols, and the explanation of those national symbols like the flag, the national coat of arms, and all other national symbols that we have in the country. With regards to the national anthem, yes, I would want to agree that it's very important that we all are able to sing the national anthem from the beginning to an end. It shouldn't be two nations whenever this national anthem is being sung. But just to say that We know, we are aware of some of the challenges that we have had with the national anthem being sung incorrectly, and we have made some strides in ensuring that in all our events, we ensure that, first and foremost, we must have a choir that is well-trained, and we ensure that there are rehearsals before the national anthem is being sung. But of course, in cases where you have to use the CD, more particularly whenever there are two heads of state, like recently we had an event at Isandlwana where we had President Museveni and President Zuma. We worked with the Department of International Affairs and Cooperation. Before that particular event happened, we worked together in ensuring that the CDs that they had for both national anthems for South Africa and Uganda were checked before the times to avoid that kind of embarrassment. But beyond that, honorable members, we also have a project that kind of does the translation of the national anthem into different languages, not necessarily to be sung in those different languages, so that all the language groups can understand what the meaning of the national anthem is. A person would know, for instance, in Zulu, just go through that particular anthem and know what it means from the beginning to an end. So that particular project is proceeding, and we are doing it so that people can also attach meaning. They cannot not just to sing, but to know what they are singing about. What is the symbolism? What is the content of the national? What's the significance of that content? Regarding commemorative days, and I think that was a very important question that was raised by the chairperson. But maybe I would like to start by saying that we have tried a number of things to try and ensure that these events are attended by different sections of our populations. We have ensured that cultural performances speak to cultural diversity as one of the ways of attracting different populations to these events. But currently, I must say that we have drafted a proposed strategy where we also say that it's going to be quite important that the national days or commemorative days are not just events-driven, but are also content-driven. People understand the significance of these national days, what they stand for in the memory of this nation. We are even saying that these must actually permeate school activities, like debates around some historic events. For instance, our acting DG spoke about the 150th anniversary. It would be good to have schools having debates around the 150th anniversary, essay writing, just reflecting on the contributions of the South African and of Indian origin in the economy of this country, in the cultural tapestry of this country. So that in that way, these things are more meaningful. It's not just having a band and festivities without necessarily permeating the psyche of the nation. So we are actually moving towards that direction. But one of the major issues that we have raised is, have we checked with various targeted communities? And one of the recommendations that we are making to the proposed strategy is to say it would be a good idea to have a research survey whereby we are able to tap into the intelligence of various communities, cultural communities, and understand from them what is it that would be attractive to them. What is it that would make these days meaningful in such a way that they would like to also attend? So these are some of the issues that we're trying to deal with. I think I've covered those issues that the acting DG had delegated to me.
I think with Dr. J, we'll talk about the translation of the constitution.
Yeah, thank you very much. The issue of the translation of the constitution is also very important, especially when it is raised to us as the Department of Arts and Culture, because we have the mandate to translate all official documents. But also just to say that maybe what needs to be done is to check as to whether the copies that are already available in the indigenous languages, which are official, are enough, because perhaps what can be done is to do the reprint of those, because they were translated. But then we can just find out as to whether we want to assist by doing the reprint, especially given the fact that we have got, in our outcome 12, we have got the sub-output, which is 5.1, which talks about the campaigns to inform and educate citizens about the rights and responsibilities of the South African Constitution. It looks like those documents will really be very necessary when those campaigns are done. So I think the question then has assisted in terms of starting to do some groundwork to us to achieve that goal. Thanks.
That's it. Thank you.
Honorable Minister, honorable members and colleagues, in terms of the monitoring and evaluation, we are implementing our two policies on M&E. One, it's a policy on M&E, and the other one is the policy on performance information. And we also made a very big stride in working with the provinces. And together with the National Treasury, we have developed indicators with the provinces, and the provinces have approved those indicators. And what is happening currently, we are developing a database for those measurable objectives and indicators for the provinces, so that together with the Treasury, we may be able to monitor the provincial performance and also align their measurable objectives with our strategic plan.
Thank you. I think on the monitoring of the grants, Honorable Chair, we do give conditional grants on libraries to provinces, and perhaps Ufusi can just elaborate in terms of how we monitor that. But also, Mavusana, we can also want to talk about the process of legislative review, specifically the legislation that has been, that talks to amendment, cultural amendment bill.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Minister, Honourable Members, and Acting DG. I must say that with regards to the conditional grants on libraries, there is a very comprehensive system of monitoring and evaluating that. Our colleagues in the libraries in particular, they have got the task team that meet quite often just to check the progress in terms of the implementation of these projects that are more about the upgrading of libraries and also of ensuring that new libraries are being built. So I think it is well done. With regards to the legislative review, I must say that yes, it's true that we were supposed to ensure that the review, I mean, with regards to the presentation to Parliament, actually, it was supposed to happen last year, but I must say that it was a little bit delayed because we further had to consult, because there were other stakeholders that felt that some of the issues that they wanted to see being reflected were not reflected. So I think that's the main reason why we couldn't go ahead with the presentation last year.
Dr. Jogan, we're talking about the language bill and the language practitioners.
Yeah, in terms of, thank you very much, Chair, Minister, Honorable Members, and Acting DG. The two bills, the two bills on language were actually presented were dealt with last year, but in terms of the time of submitting them, the thinking was that they were going to be submitted at the same time. But because of the in terms of submitting to cabinet, it became important for the department to prioritize, and the prioritization was on the South African Languages Bill. So it's the first one that is going to be submitted, and then the other one will follow, which is the South African Language Practitioners Council Bill. But both of them have the target dates for the submission. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Acting DG, and thank you, Honorable Chair of the Portfolio Committee and members. I hope my apology was conveyed that I will arrive late. Let me just make a comment on the flags that I agree with the members that we need to extend the campaign to cover all public institutions or public buildings. So I think that the school campaign is fine. So I think we should just add all the public buildings, public institutions. With respect to ordinary homes, of course, that will have to be voluntary. We can encourage people to have flags in their homes, but I think public institutions should be more mandatory, and I think we will do that. just also on schools, this is something that perhaps we should look at with education about arts and culture in schools. Even if it's not an examination course, but various aspects of arts and culture could be promoted as part of the school curriculum, and perhaps that's what we should look at when we discuss with education. There was also a question on the security or social security for artists. It's something that we discussed last year. There is a team that is currently working on that. I had a meeting with the Cultural Workers Union last year to discuss the matter, and we are in discussion with one of the financial institutions to come up with a sort of a package that could cater for that sector. The difficulty, there has been many of the people in that sector are not full-time workers. You know, artists, they perform, they have gigs and performances, and sometimes for 6 months or so, there's nothing. So it makes it difficult for them to contribute to a scheme regularly. but we are looking into that. We've also agreed that as part of setting up such a scheme, we could have a mechanism where artists perform at least once a year benefit concert that will contribute to a scheme. I also discussed with the Minister of Sport, who feels that these problems also affect people in the sector, that we maybe should look at that sector as well, and we could have both a benefit concert and a benefit game similar to things like your Telkom charity games, and all those resources could come into the scheme. Those artists that are active, of course, there will be a mechanism in which they are able to contribute. Then we'll look at what that will cover. There's medical aid, maybe some sort of pension, funeral benefit schemes. We're hoping to unveil this in the course of this year once we have finalized the details. We will brief the portfolio committee once we've got the proper proposal. on the issue of the economy, let me start with the good news first. The Cabinet Lekotla has agreed that the cultural and creative industries should be part of the top 6 job drivers for the new growth path. So that has been agreed. We have been asked to now come up with a plan as to how are we going to ensure that there is contribution, particularly to employment creation. What we did last year with the Deputy Minister, we have appointed a team that is looking at that plan. And we are looking at all the sectors. So we're going to say on the craft side, in terms of our interventions with state support, what kind of jobs can we create? We're going to look at the film industry. We're going to look at the music industry. And we're going to look at the entire value chain of heritage, our museums, etc. We believe that a significant number of jobs will come from these sectors in the coming years, given proper support and intervention by the state. We are hoping, Chairperson, that we'll have some kind of draft proposal in March to present to the Portfolio Committee, and we will then convene a stakeholder summit to then go through those plans. We need the industry buy-in of all the stakeholders, but we are confident that we will then be able at that point to come up with a clear target, because we didn't want to thumbsuck a number of how many jobs will come over the next few years from the cultural and creative industries. We believe by March we will be able to come up with that number to say this is a number per annum, and then work over the next 5 years or even the next 10 years in line with the new growth plan. But as I said earlier, that the cabinet has agreed that the state will look at how to intervene and support these sectors in order to be able to create jobs. But secondly, as we do that, we need to look at, on the side of skills, your supply side, of course. So we have taken a decision to set up a National Skills Academy for the Arts, which will work together with other institutions in provinces, universities, etc., but in a sense to become a center of excellence where we can do a lot of training, particularly for young people, because most of the people who are involved in the music industry, in drama, in film and so on, are young people. So we will target mainly those young people. So this is one of the initiatives we will be working on this year, and hopefully we should be able to get the plans finalized soon, so that as we increase support for the cultural creative industry sectors, we are able to also to have adequate supply of skills, which is one of the constraints, basically, and we are looking into that. So that's where we are. We don't have a target today, but we will have in March once we've worked on all the plans, and definitely the Portfolio Committee will be involved throughout. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Mrs. Patuza. Thank you, Honorable Minister. I saw that honorable members are raising more hands. Honorable Nchirtana, Honorable Mabunda, Oshi Shivana, Honorable Dapane, okay. Is that all? Okay. Honorable Chikwala.
Yabulela Sihlalo. Owami umbuzo mhlawumbe uzaba lula khona neminye emibili elandelayo. kaloku apha ke besike saxelelwa ngomcimbi phaya kwi-programs and programs objectives. Unumber 4 ithetha nge-cultural development and international relations. Umbuzo wam nje nanjengokuba kaloku ukhe wayibeka into yoba noko ninamathuba amahle wokuba nikhe ningabikho kwelizwe nihambele kuloo macala angaphesheya. Ndifuna ukwazi ukuba njengelizwe elidivelophayo eli lalapha ekhaya ingaba bamkeleka kangakanani kwelaa cala xa nibonisa ngeculture yeli lethu. Ikhona le nto yokuandamana ngenxesha nditsho ukuba kwenzeka loo nto kodwa kungaba kwamkeleka kanjani xa nijonga kwelaa cala. Andazi noba iyawubicacile na lo mbuzo. Owesibini nanku ke sivile kaloku ngexesha ni ubeka ke acting DJ umcimbi wokuba kaloku ama-libraries ngala azawufakwa pha ke kwii-communities e-South Africa ngokwendlela ekuplenwe ngayo. Kungaba niqwalasele into yokuba noko nijongane nazo neendawo eziphaya ke apho ebantwini ababuhlupheka noko kupheleleyo kwenzela into yoba kungabonakali iindawo ezinje zifakwa emadolophini apho kuzofuna bahambe ama-distance babuye bangabusazi nokuba ziluncedo kangakanani kubo especially abo babuya emakhaya nabangazuqonda kakuhle ke noba iphethe program yiphi le izawubhenefitha bona. Omnye ke ngulo kuba sivile kaloku uba ndiwubekile umcimbi ngoba kwinto ebizwa njengemonument ekubonakala bikuhlelo lwedepartment into yokuba kungahle kubekho indlela yokwakhiwa kwemonument ethile apho eMozambique ethow much and kungabe i-South African i-benefit yabo iyintoni kuloo nto. Eyokugqibela ke mhlawumbi kwenza bani ndingabuzi kakhulu ndiqhubeke ma. Okay. Le ayisingombuzo ncam i-comment kodwa ke ndiyayithanda noko uba ubekho indlela yokuresponda. Lo mcimbi wokuba kulo nyaka kaloku udlulile kubekho umcimbi oncomekileyo kakhulu especially department norhulumente wethu special umongameli memezela all leaders ama-political parties ukuba ziparticipate and yenzeka ke loo nto. Funa ukwazi uba ingaba ikhona indlela ekwenziwa ngayo into yokuba singaboni nje ama-leader egida exensa phaya ashiya amasapota ngemva jonge etivini. Kungaba yiphi indlela ekungamejaliswa ngayo nokuncediswa otherwise into yoba hayi kaloku makuyiweni madoda kule nto. Ya
I don't think the department needs translation. Oh, you understand all languages. Well, translate to see if what the stand box. Do just translate it to Honorable Lord Reid. Yeah, the other question. Honorable Mabunda, the second one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm trying to cushion myself if ever I will not repeat the question by my, that was raised by my colleague here. Also trying to check when you asked people from the department, including the minister, whether they need interpretation. They said, no, they are covered. And checking also Section 30, the constitutional mandate, and really I should not repeat what my colleague has asked. That's my wish. But I heard what he was talking about. Let me start and greeting you by my own language so that you can be joyous to you also. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. I've just been tempted to raise this issue of geographical names change by the explanation made by my colleague. Let me call you my colleague. I didn't have your portfolio exactly, whether you are DDG. The explanation that you gave in terms of the national, you know, the national days, national commemorations and the likes, whereby you made mention of the approach, the research program, especially to those people on the ground there. That is where I think you can come out as a department with a program that will definitely talk to the people, cultural diversity. Whenever we have a national day, we find people from all, you know, from all angles of the country. The approach that you are taking, I think that one will be more appropriate, because from the experience that you have also explained to us here, definitely it seems as if the department has been trying all means, programs and so on, but it has not yet been so successful. I think the research program to find out what the people themselves are feeling about these things definitely might be the most appropriate one. I will also support the idea. The second one, when coming to the geographical names, I wouldn't like to open it as a debate, but let me just put it through and in front of the minister himself here today. You know, sometimes you become political, even if you don't want to talk a political language, because of this, in this new dispensation, definitely, I think it should have, we should be engaging no more ourselves with some debates related to the change of names in the country, in the new dispensation. So what I want to check now is that the department hasn't come out with a good program that definitely has also been disseminated down to the province, to the district geographical name change, and even to the local. Because it seems as if we are still, even if we don't pronounce it, you know, from the department administratively, politically, and so on, we don't even pronounce it, but it is still there. People who do not yet accept change. Because if you check, it is only with other group of people waiting for the technicality and the legal aspect that has been missed somewhere, somehow, in the process of changing the names. Thereafter, they come out becoming an issue now, a battle up to the court level, you see. So as if we are we have not yet admitted that we are in the new dispensation, we are in the new South Africa, democratic South Africa. So I'm trying to find out whether the department, as for now, are we not coming yet with a good program that will erase all those kind of things and go out definitely without any hindrance. And then with this program is good, because as for now, definitely there's some other names that definitely they need and they deserve not to be mentioned in our new dispensation. But be that as it may, not from the political point of view, administratively and policy to run the government, let's have a program that will deal with this one. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think the Honourable Member has covered me on the very last aspect of the question of the geographical names and even the names that we still see, you know, being used in our places, which I don't think we can also mention them here. I think they're just out of order or out of place. But what I want to maybe find out is on page 15 about the highlights, the declaration of, for instance, graves of the struggle heroines. I'm not sure that why now recognize the graves of the heroines. To me, it seems they are women. Is it because women were always not taken into, you know, consideration? Because I would have thought it is heroes and heroines, unless if I don't understand it properly. But I just wanted to say this is what in the new dispensation, yes, it will be for the Constitution. The second one is this on page 10. You know, I'm so excited when I see here you say you are running annual national oral history conferences. I'm not even sure what is happening when you have these conferences. But, you know, a person like me, when I grew up in my community, there was this oral history. Why the oral history is because our elders, our ancestors could not write or read. But, you know, the history was perpetuated through oral history. I'm not sure whether we can still, for instance, my children now. You know, when I was growing up, my grandmother used to teach me oral history of what was happening in the community. But I cannot relate that to my children. They won't even listen to me. But supposing I die, it means the oral history is gone. But if this department, you know, is trying to revive or to take it seriously, you know, even our own history was distorted by the people who are coming to write it. If we could have listened to our old elders to tell us the history, even the history of the, you know, the liberation of our country and many other things, we could have got the correct history. What I'm trying to say is that is there any possibility for this department to try and revive that oral history, which is to me is very rich and is getting lost? Thank you.
Honorable Dapane.
Honorable Chair, mine is not a question, it's just a comment or a need to be educated. Based on your question we have put about national anthem. My understanding, national anthem is what we are as a nation. It doesn't go down well with me when I hear the artists, you know, when they produce their songs using the national anthem lyrics in their songs. I don't know whether this is right. That is why I say maybe it's a need on my part to be educated about this. And before I say the honorable chair to you, I really feel I have to make this remark. Mdramashati, I am not attending all these meetings of this committee due to parliamentary commitments, some others except this committee. Ever since you became the minister of this department, I never attended a meeting of this committee you don't attend. I am really impressed with that. I really feel I have to commend because it shows how much stress you are taking us in this committee. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable and Tafani. I was actually going to make that comment. So, would you fundenga pagat? With the Honorable Minister, I think it's a pleasure. It's something that is very rare. And it does not mean when he's not here, he's not taking us serious. But I think on the in our first meeting with the department, I really appreciate it. I think it's a good highlight for the media that is behind it. My last shopping list of comments and questions. The issue of moral regeneration, it's an issue that comes up very strongly, and people just link it with art and culture. I know there's a section also in the presidents headed by the deputy president on moral regeneration, but I just want to find how does the department come to this issue, because culture, even the elders will tell you that culture brought morality to the generations to generations. I'll make an example. My grandmother used to say a girl does not stand at the door, you know, but if you look at it, it was just morals on its own. Really, if you're standing on a door like this as a girl with everything, you know, it is just not lookable. When you speak with elders, you bow. I still do it. When you are given something, we are papad. I think it's more linked to what Honorable Shulwana question has been raising as well. On the issue of geographical names, I want to also comment strongly. In this dispensation, you cannot be driving through Kafirskop, Busman's Mount, and Honorable Minister and the department. I think sometimes it's a privilege to be a chair because you get all these complaints coming to your office. We have people from NY, Kukuletu and Mtanzan, strongly, even when I was in the Eastern Cape, we are tired of staying in native unit and in native yard. So what other people don't even know that NU, what does it mean? They think it's just a nice abbreviation, but it has got, it's actually insultive. It's degrading. So I think those are the issues I think we must also take up strongly. I'll just make that comment. And is there any assistance from the department? I mean, if for us to lose Louis Richard because of technicalities, well, what went wrong? Do the people don't understand the processes as well? I mean, those are the things that I thought I should just comment about. Acting DJ, I think what I would have liked, although maybe next time we'll get it as you present your annual report, it's in your HR, it's the segmentation in terms of race, in terms of people with disability, in terms of women. Would love to have that statistics, the whole composition of the department. How does it look, you know, to so that we can be able to say you are lacking somewhere and somewhere. I thought I should make that comment so that as we present next time to the next portfolio committee, we must be aware of, including the CFO as well, to say that would I know the annual report covers all, but just was wanted to make this as we meet the department for the time to be aware of your unit, how does it work as well. The other issue that I want to raise is the issue of it's a comment basically on some of the communique that you get from the chair side on the issues of HR. And maybe acting teacher will just comment in person to the comment so that they can also be out what they know about the communique that comes to my office. To say that the department, you know, most of those little notes that I will get, that I must not say who am I fear victimization. There's no awkward mobility. That's what most of the complainants would say. There's no upward mobility. It's always people from outside that are getting the new post. I've been here for the department for 5 years, but I've not been promoted. Somebody who comes from, you know what I'm talking about. And I believe in the next meeting, as we report, we'll also get the outcomes of there was a high publicity about the corruption, the suspenders, and we don't need the names, but we would like to get that report, so that we can be able to answer to those that we answer to, that we're representing, to say that what happened, who is still there, who is still not there. It was even the same complainants are writing stories that it was not me, I was sent by you, it was an upward delegation or down upward. I thought I would just raise those issues as well. The reason that I asked earlier, acting teacher, about the issues of relations with provinces, I think, is it hot now, is it me? I think Honorable Untapan and Chikala were very spot on this issue, to say that, why I'm asking relations, I was in the Eastern Cape recently, say, you go to the most rural areas, they don't even know what a book looks like, you know. You ask the flag, they just say Indoni, Zion's Indoni flag. I thought I should raise this issue so that when you go to those communities, because what I've realized, it's done in most departments. We only tend to look at those communities that are surrounding us, like your Soweto, your Kukuletu. You will never go in depth to a place in once, landing. Honorable Minister, some of the issues that I will raise is that issues that you must take. Acting DG, you said that part of your department that you are working with are the traditional affairs. We've got an issue that honorable members are aware about now. I think I should ask, what is your relation with traditional leaders? I know there is that section, but what is your relation? Because cross-culture and tradition, they clash somewhere. There's an issue here in the Free State now that is coming strongly. There's a threat, as we speak, honorable members, of a daughter who come from the mountain, they are men. And now these young girls, they don't want to sleep with them because they have a so they cook food, so they sleep with these grandmothers and rape them. They say it's culture. So they say it's culture, that's why I'm saying it's overlapping with traditional affairs. I thought I should raise that strongly because now we have that issue. That's why I'm asking that. That's why my question with provinces, how do you work? Because these are the things that are happening. These things are happening. Like Ugutwala. Everybody is still asking me, Chairperson, you are quiet, the department is quiet. So I thought I should just, those are the issues that socially are coming strongly. These are comments, you can comment, but I'm just putting it to the department so that they can know as well. On the issues of legislation, acting DG, I would request that we must not get a legislation today and you want us to pass it next week. I've seen committees doing that because now they are banning for the legislation to be passed. The right processes must be followed. You know, we as this committee, we don't want to, I can see, I don't have a problem with those bills being tabled. But I thought I should just make a highlight to the department that on legal matters, we don't want to, these people are already informed now. They will say we were never consulted or in public hearing. The processes of parliament were not followed. Okay, I'm about to finish my shopping list. Just, Minister, I think I will be waiting anxiously for your proposal of the new growth path and job creation as well, because it's a worrying factor, CFO. We're all worried that you get little money from Treasury, but I think you need to fight. That's all I can say. To say that here we are, arts and culture is there. And I always say, I don't know why arts and culture and sports are not taken very seriously. They're given small budgets while we have issues that are raised in the constitution that we have to follow as well. I know the department gives grants to other like your film festival, like your pencils. I think the monitoring of those institutions must be vigorous now, acting vision. Because when they come here, they tell us stories that some we don't understand. Maybe what we should do as a committee, when we invite them, we also invite a person from the department, especially in the financial side, because we get things that are not there. They must be highly monitored. That is public money. That is taxpayers' money. So I don't know how they spend them. The other issue, Minister, that I think I should just raise strongly is the issue of Robben Island. We have a serious challenge there. We'll be meeting them in a few weeks' time. I mean, from my understanding is that now the UN is also looking forward to have Robben Island as their one of the international heritage councils, and I believe that cannot happen. That's our own heritage. Our own political prisoners were held there. We cannot just allow that to happen. But because of the flawed administration that is happening at Robben Island, I think this matter is to be taken very, very forward. I hear you, acting teachers, respond and now minister about the issue of with education. I think I should just emphasize that it's time to say that it must be a must that every child must. I mean, not every child is interested in sports. If the child cannot spell it, there must be something that he's good at. Whether it's painting, whether it's dancing, sketches, drama. So to me, it's not a matter of saying that we just consider it, Honorable Rodriguez. I know you are very passionate about this one. It has to happen, you know. If an MOU must be signed with the Department of, because you still have those LO periods, you still have those. We need that. I thought that I should just emphasize. It's time that an MOU is signed, because we still go to rural areas. They are creative people. The young children are paid in pots during that fair period, whatever PT, they should be doing something. I think it cannot. How do we grow our three industries if we don't have that? I think I've done my shopping list. I'll give to the department to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Member, I understood you to be asking four questions. One, talking to the fact that as a developing country, how are we received when we showcase our African culture and heritage abroad? Second one, asking whether do we have plans to put up community libraries in rural areas? Ms. Ndima will talk to that. Second one is how much would the monument in Mozambique cost and how would South Africans benefit from the monument that we are planning to build in Mozambique? Ms. Ndima will talk to that. And also, how can we encourage participation of supporters of political parties in commemoration and celebration of national days in the Mass area? Honorable Ntate Mabunda was asking about he supports the idea that we conduct research to inform the commemoration and celebration of national days, but was asking what programs do we have
towards the name changes. I think Ms. Ndima, you're going to have a field day. And Honorable Mem Shilwana was asking, why do we declare graves of heroines only? What happens to the men? Honorable Ms. Ndima will respond to that. And what happens in the oral history conferences? How is the oral history preserved? What are the outcomes of our conferences? Honorable Ntaten Tafani was asking why, he was commenting on the use of the national anthem lyrics by artists in their songs. And then you commended Minister for attending the meeting. The shopping list talks to the contribution of the department to moral regeneration. Dr. Jobeni will talk to that. Also talks to the, Mr. Ndima will respond to that. How did we lose Louis Trichard, Kefferstorp, Bosman's Mount, Native Unit, Native Yard? What are we doing towards fast tracking the change of names? You want, Honorable Chair, that when I come back, I give you stats on the composition of the department in terms of race, gender, and people with disability. When I come back, you want me to report on the disciplinary cases. You want me to comment on the allegation that there's no upward mobility in the department. But also, you also commented on the rural fact that the rural communities are not aware about our flags. Some of them don't even know what a book looks like. You also talk about us following the right processes in handling legislative review, and you also expect that proposal on the contribution of the DAC to the new growth path, and also you are urging us to monitor associated institutions rigorously, and also look at the issue of the Robben Island and its flawed administration. And you lastly wanted us to really sign an MOU with the Department of Basic Education on the inclusion of art and culture and heritage in the curriculum. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm sorry to just say, I'm just looking at that, to check members. I think we just have to last the, just open the lens. Are there any other questions that members want to ask? Before, I want now the department to really answer everything. I'm sorry to do that to you. Dr. Awusekomnye umbuzo noko ndifuna sivale noko ngoku Dr. Ntabane onene oshisho lubani anaba mabunda mama ayikho ubalekile. Okay, why I'm raising that, I'm sorry, I just forgot the financials you've been speaking about. I'm sorry to cut you off like that. I just want to say about the budget. My understanding is that also there was a lot of underspending in the financial list, especially on Program 4, on Program 5, on Program 6, I think. Yeah. These are some of the things that I was just going through as I review some of the things. See, there was a lot of under expenditure, Minister, and if you have a lot of under expenditure, Treasury becomes very brutal with you and says, you don't spend the money I gave you. So what is it that you're doing? I mean, if the figures are still correct, 844,000 Program 4, 41 million Program 5, about 352 million Program 6, and I spent about those are the figures I think were raised. And also the AG, Auditor General, also noted some irregular expenditure as well of about 61 million rands. And almost about 100% of the targets, 100% of targets were set by a department. The AC were not met as well. I'm sorry, I just did not see the notes that I've made here already. So I think these are the issues I think we really need to know. If there's so much millions that we underspend, and how do we start fighting with treasury, especially now with the new financial coming, with such under expenditure? And maybe I might not know where this financial, I know there's a
xa DJ imali ingasetyenziswa kweli cala iphelile izonditransfer zindoni you call them yeah where the programs did not spend why there were no transfer via yeah I know one premier just does that I wouldn't name him when it's not spent just it takes from that department put it aside. I thought I should very raise this very strongly because I didn't spark someone now here to speak. Okay, honorable members, are you fine? Okay, hold on.
Thank you, Chair. I would say that, honorable member, when we go abroad and showcase our arts and culture and heritage, the different areas, the first one is when we go there and really take our best. Well, like when the minister went to Italy in November, and we had Mamunu Tengi going there, and they are well received, those the renowned artists, when we take them abroad. In Midem in 2010, for instance, South Africa was the country of honor in France when those record companies get together. So we took the best artists there and they performed and they were well received, such that this year, February, they were asking where's South Africa, although okay, we were not the country of honor. France was the country of honor. So I would like to say that our artists are really of a caliber that compares internationally. We also then, when we enter into memorandum of cooperation, cultural cooperation with other countries, then we factor in an element of development, where then we would share skills. Then that is a different scenario. We would take our budding artists and we also receive budding artists from other countries so that we share our experiences. So in a way, I would say yes. But also, there is also a development element when we do those exchange programs of cooperation with other countries. Mr. Ndima, could you respond to other questions around community libraries, Mozambique, and as I had indicated, the ones that you would be responding to?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister, Acting DG. Just to say that with regard to libraries, the strategy is about ensuring that the libraries and the library infrastructure is also well established in the rural areas. And in fact, on the 16th of February, we're going to be presenting at the Select Committee on Education and Recreation a very comprehensive presentation which actually indicates even the different provinces and areas where these particular libraries are going to be established and where they are upgraded, those that are existing. So I think we can actually clearly share that information with the portfolio committee so that you know you have a sense, because we can't give the detail today, but I think that detail is there. With regards to the monument in Mozambique, in fact, it's a monument and the interpretive center. Both projects or both structures are going to constitute 40 million rand to build a monument and the interpretive center, because originally it was a monument, but and then it was later on thought that if you want to have this memory alive, it's very important that adjacent to the monument you have an interpretive center which can tell the story about what happened at Matola in the form of temporary exhibitions as well as permanent exhibitions. Now, the question that has been asked by the honorable member is, what are the benefits to South Africa? I think the benefits are manifold. Already we have researchers from both countries, South Africa and Mozambique, working jointly to do research in terms of the storyline.
We also have architects from both countries discussing the design for both the monument and the museum. In a way, South Africans are also benefiting, but the Mozambicans are also benefiting. And then, of course, once there has been a common understanding in terms of the design for the monument and the interpretive center, there will be advertisement for the construction, so where we would be looking for the contractors to do the actual work. But apart from that, there's a lot of expertise that is being exchanged between the two countries. But I would also want to emphasize the fact that beyond monetary gain, one is also looking at consolidating and establishing partnerships between the two countries, ensuring that South Africans do not forget what the Mozambicans contributed towards the liberation of this country. So that is at a much more high level of partnership and of gains for us. I think that's by the way of responding to the issues around Matola and the projects there. But in terms of the geographical names, I just want to start by saying that first and foremost, we need to look at the legislative framework, the way it is arranged. It's more of the department playing a facilitative role as well as a regulatory role. Facilitative role by way of ensuring that information is made available to all the communities of this country who want to standardize names and change names. Regulatory role in the sense that the department receives names from various communities. So the department, in terms of this law, cannot be a player and a referee. It cannot say those names should be changed and then it's the same department that then approves. So the major role that this department is playing is to ensure that there is information out there, local community level, provincial level. And hence, what this department has been doing has been the provincial hearings in all the provinces, bringing all the stakeholders, ensuring that they do understand the processes, they understand the policies, they understand the procedures that they need to follow, issues of consultations that have actually created all sorts of challenges for this particular process. So that has been the major focal point of the department. And that's why also the acting DG also spoke about the summit that we will be hosting, because it's a culmination of these provincial hearings, where we will also be bringing all the people involved. Various spheres, three spheres of government will be involved, so that even the municipalities, though they are not necessarily regulated in terms of this act, they are actually regulated in terms of the Municipal Structures Act. They can share with us, or we can share with them, the policies that we are promoting at the national level. Because one of the things, of course, that we are trying to promote is to ensure that as we transform the heritage landscape, we need to also be cognizant of the fact that we need to minimize tensions within the South African society so that our project of social cohesion is actually not lost. In terms of the oral history, the way the oral history conferences are being run, they are run in such a way that maybe pre the conference, you have trainers, people who train local communities in the area where the oral history project is going to be taking place or the conference is going to be taking place, training the youth in the skill of doing research within their communities, tapping into the intelligence that resides in the elderly people in those areas. And normally, during the conference, the same people who have been trained, they are given an opportunity to also do the presentation so that they can share this knowledge that they have actually drawn from the elders. But it doesn't end there, honorable member. It becomes a knowledge production exercise, but also it becomes a knowledge preservation exercise. That this knowledge that has been gathered from our elderly people who might be departing from this world, at least we are left with the knowledge that they have. So that's how we do it. But also you spoke very well about the issues of distortion. Yes, this particular project is actually trying to address that issue of distortions, because history of this country, we know, all of us, that it was kind of one-sided for a very long time. And that is why now there is an attempt to ensure that so many people are involved in knowledge production, in recording this kind of knowledge, so that those distortions can also be minimized, if not eradicated. And then there was an issue around graves. Oh, yes, thanks a lot. The graves. I think that the approach is really comprehensive. But I think also there is a realization that there has been a lot of focus on heroines, men. Now, the idea was, let's really try and ensure that there is a balance in terms of the recognition of our heroes and heroines. In fact, even that project it was not just an end of it. It was the beginning of it, because the people who are actually driving this process is one of our statutory bodies, the South African Healthcare Resources Agency. They have got a plan, a five-year plan, in terms of how they would want to roll it out. But of course, they've already started conceptualizing the project, which they call the Founding Fathers. So in a way, there is a balance of ensuring that you recognize everyone who has contributed towards the liberation of this country. There was an issue around I would call this intangible cultural heritage, which was raised by the chairperson, Ugutwala. And I'm glad that when the acting DG began the presentation today, she first reflected on the constitutional mandate of the Department of Arts and Culture. And she was very clear in terms of saying, when we consider issues of culture, we do not encourage those practices that are inconsistent with the Bill of Rights. So we are very clear on that one. In terms of our draft policy on intangible cultural heritage, that has been spelled out categorically, that only those practices that are consistent with the Bill of Rights are the ones that are going to be promoted. So I think we're very clear. And of course, the question has been, have we worked with the relevant departments like the COPTA? Yes. When we drafted this policy in particular, we worked together with COPTA, because we knew that some of these issues, they touch on the areas and the terrain of our traditional leadership. They touch on the terrain of our traditional healers. So all those stakeholders were brought together to discuss these issues. Robben Island. Just to say that I think if we look at Robben Island, Chairperson, we should really be happy to say that we're moving away from the danger zone. And the danger zone was created by that time where there was no council, and also there was no CEO to run the Robben Island. But I must just say that we have a council, and the beginning of January, we had the CEO coming in, and the CEO has started the process of ensuring that there's full staff establishment. There were challenges in terms of human resources, which actually the CEO is actually looking at. We also had some challenges with regards to environmental issues. As you would know, honorable members, that when Robben Island was inscribed in the World Heritage List, it was inscribed as a mixed site, which is natural site in terms of its environment and cultural site in terms of the history that it embodies. And we worked very hard, as from last year, to ensure that those invasive species, fauna and flora, that were kind of threatening the island and the authenticity of Robben Island as a World Heritage Site, started the process of ensuring that those animals were reduced. So that process also is under control, I must say, because the rabbits, the number of rabbits was actually unacceptable because they were beginning to denude the environment in Robben Island. So I must say that there is a lot of progress that one can actually report on in Robben Island. Yes, there were some challenges in the past, but I think they have been managed, and one is hoping that everything will be on track. Also, what I forgot to mention is the whole issue of the appointment of the company secretary also, which is on course, also to deal with issues of operations and any other things that can actually obstruct, you know, the success of Robben Island. I think that I've covered. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think we've noted, Chairperson, your call for us to ensure that we follow the right processes in handling the legislative review, and that we don't surprise you as our principals. We do have some dates. I'll go back and look at those dates, because we do have some dates that are submitted to Cabinet to say this will be brought at this date, and I think they range from April to September. But we'll take a note of that. I don't think it's anyway, people have got the right to their opinion when one says there's no upward mobility in the department. In terms of our legislation and employment legislation, all the positions that are at senior management level, you have to advertise them. And that's what we do. We've done it, you know, religiously. I must say that there's it's a bit worrying for me in terms of what we attract when we advertise this position. People have got the right to apply internally. And I find that most people internally don't apply, actually. We get applications from outside. And I had indicated to the AG when we met that you sit with a lot of applications that come through, and you look at them and you think, I really need somebody who's going to hit the ground running, because the department needs to be run. I don't have time to, you know, to tread along. We've been without these positions have been vacant for a long time. But when you are presented with what you see, that you receive, it becomes a challenge. But also sometimes people are given an opportunity, because I know that, Che and honorable members, you don't want us to come here as if we are in Bollywood. But you do get an opportunity to act in a position. And that puts you ahead, because you have acted in that position. So therefore, if you would like to be considered for that upward mobility, then you've got all the right to apply. But also you've got the right to say, I have acted, but this is not me. I'm not applying because I have acted. I've tasted what it's like, and I've considered my position, and I look at myself and I think, this is not meant for me. So I am not sure what it is. I would like to really engage in terms of what is it that we say there's no upward mobility. Do we mean from the ranks of the officer to the assistant director? Is that what it means? So I can engage further on that one, Chairperson. The monitoring of associated institutions, I agree. We need to monitor them rigorously, as you say. What we have done, what the process has started, is to engage with them and present to them our plan. I've met with the heritage institutions. They met at the Freedom Park last week on Friday, and I said to them, this is what we are going to do as a department. This is what the minister, deputy minister, have charged us to do after the course of the right. So they are clear in terms of where we are going as a department, and they appreciated that, because they were saying that they have been operating in the dark. They have been running their own strategic planning sessions, and now we have our own strategic planning sessions, and if we ever meet, well, it would be by fate. But now we by design,
we want to align our strategic plan so that they know that this is where the department is going, and they align their plans in line with our plans so that they then assist us to deliver on the mandate. I'm meeting with the performing arts institutions on tomorrow. I'm meeting with the performing arts institutions. I'm also going to share with them what the departmental plan is. What we had acknowledged as well, and they appreciated that, is that we sort of tended to compete with them instead of complement each other. So we're moving away from that. We want to involve our associated institutions, and we are going to look at, I'm saying this, Chairperson, because I worked for an associated institution, and I said to my colleagues, we used to just send stress documents. We know that you don't even look at them. We'll send you what we sent to you last year, and guess what, you didn't look at them. But now, I think Mr. Ndimelo, Mr. Rennie, we're working, we've got a team internally now that is going to work towards really ensuring that we monitor the associated institutions and they feel that they are being monitored and they are accountable to the department. One of them was saying they work better with GTI than with us, which was an indictment on us. But we try to turn around that situation. Honorable Chair and members, I'm going to ask the CFO to talk about this underspending and irregular expenditure. The issue of targets not being met, we acknowledge that in terms of 8 and 9. If it's 8 and 9, we're looking at 9 and 10. They're still going to audit us for 9 and 10. And she always bugs us. She is in charge of monitoring our evaluation. Because the challenge is also with our setting our targets. That's what has been established, that we don't set realistic targets. As a result, we don't meet them. Or we set targets and then we do something else, if we can acknowledge that. And then once the CFO has responded, Honorable Chair, I'll give the opportunity to Minister if he's got anything else to add. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Minister DG, your comment about underspending, I think, is quite relevant. We had an underspending of 407 million rand in 2009-10. There were basically four areas that we underspended and underspent. It was 12 million rand on the 2010, but that's relatively obvious because, you know, it's only later on in the year that you're going to spend some of those funds, and we got the rollovers for that. We underspent 36 million rand on the investing in culture project, and basically the biggest reason for that was the moratorium placed, and that in investigation we got an amount of 18 million rand for rollovers. But the big area of concern and our big underspending was on the capital works of 357 million rand. And then we had a small amount on machinery and equipment capital assets of 1.5 million rand, and that's 407 million rand. For the current year, we are trying our best. Capital works will probably remain a problem, but not as big as what it was. Not at the extent of 357 million rand. We've tried all kinds of options to expedite this. One of our problems that we have with capital works is our, to a large extent, our implementing agency is outside of the department, which is DPW. So trying to circumvent this, we've got approvals, we've got certain approvals in place from the Treasury to give money directly for, say, to the playhouses and in certain instances to our institutions and also then to some of our legacy projects. So whilst we'll still, in my opinion, as I look at the numbers, still underspend it, it will not be at the extent that what we've had in the past. And I know it's a big number, but I think we'll still underspend by about 100 a million rand in the current year. We're also trying to stimulate spending, engaged with the Treasury's technical assistance unit, and they are going to give us assistance with a management of these projects from about April this year, so that it doesn't remain a problem forever. So what I'm saying is that we did have a massive underspending. It will definitely come down. The IIC definitely will definitely not have that type of underspending. All the funds have been committed for the current year, and it's being spent. It looks okay. We've still got a technicality in terms of older project that were subject to the investigation. But we've got a plan of action to expedite the expenditure there. We'll put this plan forward to the acting accounting officer. So I don't foresee a massive underspending on IIC, and for the rest, we should be okay. But there, in the last 2 weeks, there has been a little bit of a hiccup with community library spending, which is once again not spent within the department. Treasury is uncomfortable about the spending by the provinces, and they want us to withhold the transfers to them, or might ask us to withhold some of the transfers to some of the provinces that are not spending adequately. So it could be that on that area we might have an underspending again. Once again, it's not directly in our hands, and all the money that we spend directly, we'll try our best to spend it as well as we can. On the issue of the irregular expenditures, there is a large amount there, but most of it relates to the 2006 World Cup end function, the closing function. That's it's about 54 million rand. That is currently being investigated by the SIU. As soon as we've got an outcome on that, we'll ask for, you know, there'll be a plan of action how to deal with it. There was a 6.5 million rand in the 2008-09 financial year that was money that was spent from capital for current expenditures on our municipal services. There is a letter in the system to the Treasury asking for the approval on that, and then we've got at two small amounts that was approved since these annual financial statements were promulgated.
Thank you, Mike. Before I hand to Honourable Minister, I just want to also, perhaps Mike, if you could explain that in terms of this environment and shifting of funds, if you have to shift sometimes, some funds are, what do you call it, ring fence. So if it's a capital works, you can't use it on anything except for capital works. If it's a 2010, you can't use it for anything because we have been wrapped in the knuckles for some shifting funds and using it for something that is not related for what it was meant for. So there's also those challenges in terms of it doesn't become easy to just shift and do the environment. Thanks.
Absolutely, and that goes for the IIC as well, fund as well. Investing in culture as well. We can't just have as if we use it for anything else, otherwise we'll be in trouble.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think a lot of the issues raised, we have noted them. I just wanted to say briefly on the geographic name changes that we will work hard to encourage the provinces and the local government to really be at the forefront of that campaign, because what we need is for them to galvanize communities to be involved, because the idea with the names, geographic names, is that it should be a process of, you know, bringing communities together. So it's not a top-down approach. It needs to come from bottom-up. So if communities realize that the name of the street is derogative, it's not in line with their values, they then come together to say we want to come up with a change. So the process must come from downwards, and it ends up with us approving. And the legislation requires public participation, and often that's where the problem happens, is when people take a shortcut. They want to propose a name, but there's no meeting, there's no participation by communities. Then you get into difficulties, because when others object, the courts will find that there wasn't adequate consultation. But we are busy educating our stakeholders out there, as the TDG was saying about the summit that they are going to convene, to say this is how you go about, because there are names that are derogative by their nature and should actually be changed, but that process should be very consultative. And also, in some areas, names are okay, but the spellings are wrong, so those are other things that needs to be attended to, so that we have proper names. You know, some areas people use African names, but the way they are written, you can see that they really wanted to say something else. But then somebody was telling me about some example of a place in Nysna called Pezula, and the explanation is high up, so it means they wanted to say Pezulu. So there are a lot of those things that needs to be corrected, and I think KZN has been very good in that, to ensure that, you know, you don't have a place called Ndloti, but it's Mdloti, and we have approved a lot of those things. So we will be pushing ahead with that, but we want communities to be involved. I think at the end, it must be a process of nation building, social cohesion, uniting communities rather than dividing them. yes, I think the rest of the other issues that the chair raised as well, we should note them. About moral regeneration is something we are working on. The deputy president is a patron, and we work with the moral regeneration movement. We are funding them, but also we are creating capacity within arts and culture to drive that program, so that we bring more stakeholders in communities, and we report regularly to the deputy president on that program. I think the others, we will note them. How do we get involved in the debates on some of the traditional practices, and discourage those that are negative and don't contribute positively to our society? That's something that we will look into. I think let me leave them the Chairperson. We'll come back once we have other concrete plans around how we go forward into the future, including how we deal with issues of expenditure, because as Mike was saying, that we need to look also at how we fast track capital expenditure, and we will engage with Public Works on some of those things, so that we don't have delays, because we are quite right, once we come with a lot of plans and programs to support the creative and cultural industries, that requires more resources, Treasury might come and say, but you know, you have not spent even what you have. So we must remove all those bottlenecks to ensure that we can accelerate delivery. Thank you very much.
I would like to thank you, Honorable Minister, and thank you, SNTG, and I would thank the senior management of the department and everybody who's been present in this meeting. Just my last comment, Chair, is just to say that I must really commend the department for the strategies that have put in place, especially on corruption and on your procurement on asset rotation and on your systems that you've put in place recently. I think you are really moving forward to achieve the best. It's rarely for a chair to come in the department. I think you must get things for yourself. And I think, Chair, I will be looking forward for the next unqualified report as soon as we can. And I believe also I'm speaking to registered voters here. So I think I'm very hot. Even I understand all the responses, especially on the capital expenditure. I know it becomes a very difficult issue. Just a comment on HR and staffing. I think you know those things. Maybe you should also employ them. That's why they are no longer applying. Maybe you should get why they are not. But I think I must really commend the department so far. I think you can just be with us for the next few minutes. We just as we continue, because I know Minister, you have engagements, but I think the honourable members would like to have a few words with you, just to meet you and shake your hand for the first time. Honourable members, the next item on the agenda was the adoption of the minutes. I believe you have received them prior and went through them. Are there any comments? No comments. On my side, it's just to change on page 3, the Paris to Paris. In South Africa, it's still Paris, not Paris. Honourable members. Can I get a mover for the adoption of the minutes that we have? Honourable Letra, is a mover? Minister, second? Okay, we should one second minutes. Honourable members, is there any other business that you want to raise? Nothing? Okay. I'd like to thank you for spending 3 hours with me in front of you. Thank you for attending the meeting. Any other communication will be sent to you via your pigeonhole. And thanks to everyone who's here and the people at the back. Thanks a lot to our researchers and our staff members. Thank you for assisting us. Thank you, KPMG. And as you go and prepare your dresses for the sauna in your hair, all the best. And those who are traveling, please to Joburg, fly safely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.